Well, let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what a blessing to be able to meet and to gather in your name and have your word before us. So help us to listen to you as you would speak to us, and then help us to respond. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 4 today. And as I went through this, I was just so struck by the beauty of the word, and I was still a little bit disappointed with the relationship between the father and the son, with David and the blots on his life to take away his witness, and then Solomon, who had all the wisdom of anyone had ever been given, and he finished so poorly. And I'm thinking about all of the exhortations in Proverbs 4, where it says, listen to your son, listen to your father, listen to your father, listen to your father. And I was just wondering about my life. How much is my witness weakened by my life? And if your life is weak, your instruction is going to be weak no matter how good the words are, it seems like. So I was looking up just a few of the things, and on the back side on page 4, this is a summary of God's warning to Solomon in a way. 1 Kings 3:14. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. 1 Kings 6:12. Concerning this temple which you are building, if you will walk in my statutes, execute my judgments, keep all my commandments and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David. 1 Kings 8:25. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, Solomon writing, you will not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel only if your sons take heed to their way that they may walk before me just as you walked before me. 1 Kings 9:4. Now if you walk before me as your father David walked in integrity of heart, and in uprightness to do according to all that I've commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments. And going on to verse 6 in chapter 9, but if you or your sons all turn from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all people. And then 1 Kings 11:4, for it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was his heart of his father David. 1 Kings 11:9, so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And then later on in verse 38 in that same chapter, then it shall be if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house as I built for David and will give Israel to you. So what is the byword in all of that? I think it's obedience. You can have all the wisdom in the world, and if you are not obedient, it counts for like nothing, really. And so we see so clearly, I think that, in my opinion anyway, God gave Solomon every single thing that you and I would like to have. We all want this, we all want that, we all want, and he was given it all. He was giving it all, and what was the net result of that? It was all vanity, nothingness. Even his wisdom, which is, we will read about wisdom again today, which is such a wonderful thing. There's got to be obedience that goes along with that, or you have nothing, really. You just have a lot of wisdom. That's better than having no wisdom, but I think as we read through this, we will see the beauty of wisdom. And so setting aside for a minute the lifestyle or whatever it was, of David and Solomon, God still blessed them, and God still blesses us. And who are we to ever look at another person and say they're sinners when we are all sinners, and there by the grace of God go I in every one of these situations. So it's not that we're perfect and they're imperfect. It's that we're all imperfect, but he's perfect, and he's the only perfect one, right? So as we read chapter 4, hear my children. We've got to hear my children. We've got to hear my son and my son several times in this chapter. Hear my children, the instruction, the instruction. Now, instruction is a very important word because it has a connotation of obedience to it. It's really listen to do this and obey it. It's got that context in it. And give attention to my understanding. Now, question. Which is used more in the book of Proverbs, understanding or wisdom? Well, the way I phrased the question, probably to guess the answer is understanding. Not a lot. There is more. Wisdom is used 227 times in the Bible, but it's only used 50 times in the book of Proverbs. Understanding is only used 155 times in the Bible, but it's used 53 times in Proverbs. So we have, you know, you would think, I would think, well, Proverbs is all about wisdom. I don't know about understanding, but understanding is really important. So that's the net result of that comment, it seems to me. And so we have understanding several times in today's chapter. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to know what? Understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother. Now, that's an interesting verse. And if you read the Chronicles account, it only talks about right after the baby, which resulted from the adulterous relationship to Bathsheba, and right after that, the baby died, and then they were very sad, and Bathsheba was very sad. So it says David went into her, and Solomon was born. Well, she's got three other sons that came before Solomon. And nothing is really mentioned of those. Shimei and Shobab, and now Nathan is the prophet Nathan. One of them was named after the other, not the same one. The son of Bathsheba was not the prophet. Nathan was well before that, the prophet of David. But we see here that God did send a message through Nathan the prophet to give the name of Solomon as Jedidiah. Jedidiah means loved by God. Now, he was never called that, but that's what he was named before he was born. And so that's an interesting thing in a way, and maybe that ties into this statement, the only one in the sight of my mother. Now, when you have four sons, it's kind of hard to say, well, that's the only child I have when you've got four of them. So you can take that wherever you want it. I don't know, but it was just kind of curious to me that it says he's looking at himself, I guess, as the only one in the sight of his mother. And maybe we all think we're special in the sight of our mother. I don't know. But anyway, it says, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands. Now, again, when you see a disobedient parent telling their child to keep his commands, you know how that weakens it, right? And so I guess, again, we come back to the same thing. How weakened is my witness by my life? Or conversely, how strengthened is my witness by my life? If you don't have it in your life, you don't have it in your words, right? Because nobody will say, you never say, well, don't do as I do as I say. That you might as well not even mention those words because nobody's going to pay attention to that. But going back to here again, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Now that's true. You live if you're keeping his commandments, right? And then what do you get? Verse 5, get wisdom. All right, we like that. And right after that, get understanding. And we see the importance of that, it seems to me. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, meaning wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, yes, and in all you're getting, get understanding. So we see the understanding is right alongside of wisdom there. Exalt her, exalt wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. How true that is. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. Do you associate grace with wisdom? Seems like it comes out of that, that's, you should place on your head an ornament of grace, that's what it says, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. So I would say amen if you are obedient. If you're not obedient, it doesn't happen. Look at Solomon. You don't get that crown of glory and you don't get that ornament of grace when it gets tarnished and when his heart is not loyal to the Lord. Verse 10, hear my son and receive my saying. Now, whether this is speaking from Bathsheba or from David is a question, but probably David, I don't know, or Solomon to David, David to Solomon. Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. Again, very important as our parents. Now, we are not perfect parents. No ones are. But it's a crooked parent has a difficult time leading a child in a straight way. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. That's good. And when you run, you will not stumble. Verse 13 is wonderful. They all are. Take firm hold. That means to seize it, grasp it firmly. Take firm hold of instruction. And again, remember, that's got an obedient connotation to it. Seize instruction. In other words, do not let go. Now, that's a biggie. Because there are times in all our lives where we kind of let go, don't we? And we get into things we shouldn't be getting into or do things we shouldn't be doing. Do not let go. Keep her, or in other words, guard is another word there. Guard her, for she is what? Your life. Now, we have a big contrast here in life and death. We've been talking about wisdom and life, and now verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. We're going to contrast the path of the wicked with, in verse 18, the path of the just. So think of these two dramatically different paths. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Notice how many times you're told this. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. You get the idea? Over and over and over. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Now, this is what the wicked do at night, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil. Oh, I got to do some evil before I can go to sleep. Isn't that a terrible way to go to sleep? They do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. Wow. Just opposite to where you want to be, right? You want to build people up. You don't want to tear them down. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. So you got the picture there. That's the path of the wicked. But, I love it, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter until that perfect day. Now, let that sink into our hearts a little bit. That means as we walk in accordance with his will and his word and his way, it results in a righteous and just walk. And that walk, the further we walk, what? It gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Isn't that good?
Praise the Lord.
I think about a Christian marriage. I think a Christian marriage has that potential in it, as we read in the scripture, to get better and better and better and better as we get closer and closer to the Lord. That's assuming that both of you are getting closer to the Lord. It doesn't get better if you don't. And as you get closer to the Lord, you get closer to two others. I like to think of that as a triangle with the Lord at the top and the spouses at the bottom corners. You start out pretty far apart, a triangle, I mean, assuming it's equilateral triangle, for example. But as you get closer and closer to the apex, you get closer and closer together, and you eventually get to the same point, don't you? So the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Now, can you imagine the perfect day when God will have brought all of us to Christ-likeness? I can't even imagine myself getting to Christ-likeness, let alone everybody. Now, maybe it's easier to get you there, but that's amazing. The perfect day when everybody is like Christ. That's what He's promised. That's what He's promised us. Is that something? Now, can you complain about aches and pains today when you know what's coming? Can you complain about all the problems in the world when you know what's coming? We all want to go to heaven. Well, you can't go to heaven where there's sin there. It's not heaven. That's all got to be taken away. And it will be taken away. But that's what's ahead, that perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So the way of the just is righteousness and life. The way of the wickedness is darkness and death. Now, these last 7-8 verses here are kind of interesting. Think of all of the body parts that are mentioned here in this coming phrase here. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. I think of dogs. I think of horses, how they will rotate their ear to the sound. Mm-hmm. They're listening, right? They're listening. Am I listening? Are you listening? Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So we got ear, eyes, heart. Now remember, the heart is where the conviction comes from. Think a picture, for example, of Lot's wife. She loved Sodom, apparently. And it was very explained to them they had to get out of there because God was going to destroy it. She knew exactly what was going on. And then the Lord finally had to say, one of the few places in the scripture, hurry, get out of there. Actually, the angel said it. And what did she do? She turned back and had a look, and that was the end of her. So out of her heart became that response that took her life, because she knew in her brain that they had to get out of there because they were told that, but her heart is still, that's where it comes from. It comes from the heart. So keep your heart. Well, I skipped a verse there. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. So there's the whole body, the flesh. And then 23, a familiar verse, keep your heart with all diligence. Now think what that means, all diligence. Again, I fail on that. Anything we get in terms of full or all, I always am short. I know I am. I know I'm not as diligent in my heart as I could be. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. I think of this being written about 3,000 years, 3,100 years before now, But I think it was about 300 or 400 years ago when man first kind of discovered that the heart circulated the blood through the whole body. Remember in the old days, when somebody got sick, they would bleed them. They would bleed the blood out, thinking the blood was the problem. Well, that's your life, you know. But the Bible is telling us that's the heart is responsible for your life. 2,700 years before man finally caught on to it, right? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. So now we get the mouth into it. We're all familiar with that. And put perverse lips, now we get lips involved, far from you. Perverse lips, far from you. Now we go to the eyes. Let your eyes look straight ahead. When I was a child, we had a team of horses, and on the bridle and on the thing that goes over their head, they always had blinders on, so the horse couldn't see in the back or to the side. All it could see is what's forward, because you didn't want to startle it unnecessarily with things going on around it. And I was just thinking about the blinders. Do I have blinders on my eyes to evil? Do I have blinders on my eyes to think I shouldn't look at? Or I know I shouldn't look at? Am I looking straight ahead? Good question. And your eyelids look right before you. Now, how you have eyelids looking, I'm not quite sure, but anyway, you want your eyelids looking that way, not your eyelids over that way, I guess. But then your eyelids look right ahead, and now we get the feet into it. Ponder the path of your feet. Oh, how true that is. Think where your feet will take you today. Just ponder that. And are they willing to be led by the Lord? Are they willing to respond as the day goes on for the Lord's calling? Do you have time for that? No, Lord, I'm too busy today. I already got my path all laid out, and I have no extra time, and so don't bother me with calling, because I'm not going to listen to you. I'm too busy. But your feet, ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Who's establishing your ways? Are you letting Him? I pray so. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot. Now we finish with a foot. Remove your foot from evil. So every one of these verses kind of stands on its own, and in some ways they all relate to each other. So it's a magnificent wisdom in these chapters. I only scratched the surface, and this morning I had a little bit extra time, so I thought I'll read through this 5 times and see what I learn each time. I didn't even get through it once. And I was looking up other words, and I was looking up this and that and those things, but that's kind of good too. If you have time just with the Lord and say, what does that mean? And what does it mean to me? What does it mean to me now? And is that a different meaning than it was maybe 5 years ago or 10 years ago or whenever? You know, am I changing? Are my perverse lips less perverse? And are my eyes looking straighter ahead? And I guess I should say, Lord, help me to keep the blinders on, right? You know, I think of the high priest and the other priests which were anointed for their sanctification being set apart. And it was the thumb, and it was the ear, and it was the toe. And the thumb, so your hands are holding only holy things and not touching the unholy. And this day and age, boy, that really is important, because we all got clickers right now. We never had the clickers to evil the way we have it today. Oh, yeah. Or phone, or whatever you want to say. You've got your fingers. Get you. How many times did you use your thumb today already, holding the phone? Can you fast a day without the phone? Can you fast a week without the screen? And then the ear. The ears are to be anointed to what? Hear the Lord, but also they need anointing to not hear the sounds which you should not hear. So how selective are your ears? And then the toe was to be anointed, meaning, again, we had here today, ponder the path of your feet. You know, thy word is a what? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my way. Where am I walking? And so just with the priests there, we have the body parts again. So it's all beautiful. And we think of God, and then he's spirit, but we're created in his image. So when you figure that out, rectify it and tell me, because I don't understand it. But he is so infinite and so great that he's got it all covered. He's got the spirit covered. He's got the flesh covered. He's got the resurrection covered. He's got the glorification covered. He's got the change covered in us, because he's promised to sanctify us and to bring us to Christ's likeness. So this morning, let's just spend a little time in prayer here and pray for things that the Lord leads you. We do have, we're getting very close to the election, and we can pray for the election, and we can pray for life after election. Life is not going to end on November 5th. It's going to just get started for a continued war, and probably getting worse. And thanking the Lord for a lot of the biblical things happening in Israel right now. And yet we see the need for prayer there, maybe not so much for Israel, but for especially our nation. For the good of any nation is going to curse Israel. Don't do it, and yet we're continuing to do it. We're continuing to feed secrets to Iran. And the only way that Israel can do anything successfully is not tell anybody about it. And they even have moles in their own security in Israel. So some of the things Netanyahu has done, he hasn't even told his staff about it, other than, you know, maybe one or two people. So, that's not like us too. We need to do what the Lord has for us to do and not be misled by all the naysayers and these things. And so may not the evil in the world tarnish your heart today as you look to him and praise him. And how much time did you spend thanking him yesterday? How much time did you spend singing songs to him yesterday? Every time I meet somebody who seems to be far from the Lord, I ask them first questions, how much are you singing to the Lord? And they look at me like, singing to the Lord? I said, yeah. How much time did you sing yesterday? Oh, well, I don't sing to the Lord. Well, no wonder you're far away from him. Start to praise him. I mean, not just that, but don't we want to just have our hearts overflowing with him and not just turning the switch off? And Father, help us to pray now, Lord, and you are leading each one of us. We have one spirit, and so our prayers are all pretty much the same, a little bit different inflection based on where we are and what we have you put on our hearts, but may we just respond to you as you lead us. And we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful moment of just gathering together and bowing down before you. And remembering prayer is a two-way communication. And so it shouldn't be us talking all the time. Mm-hmm. It should be us listening. And we should be listening to everyone's prayer with the understanding that this is one prayer because it's led by the same Spirit. So, Lord, we just thank you for these moments. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Well, let's open our eyes now and close with this song. Father, we thank you that you have met us always and again this morning. And Lord, as we go from this place, may we remember what you have told us. And may we be walking the way you would have us to walk. We honor you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.